is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
Amen. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In 2024, we want more. We want more. We're praying for a spiritual awakening for individuals, for each one of us to have our own spiritual awakening. And we talked about a season of sacrifice, and now we're talking about a season of serving. And not necessarily that every message is around serving, but that you also in your mind just have a season of serving. How can I serve the church body? How can I serve the kingdom? How can I serve others? Help me experience the spiritual awakening within my own soul. You know, I worked with a guy years ago, and I went to a new job, and I was telling him about where I used to work, and the guy looked me in the eye and said, "You know, Adam, I used to work for you." I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I don't remember. Tell me your name again," he told me. I don't recall the guy, and I hate that. And I was, strangely enough, telling that story to another guy. And that other guy looks me in the eye and he said, "Adam, you know, I used to work for you too." I said, "You did?" He said, "Yes." "What's your name?" And he told me. I said, "What were the circumstances that you left?" He said, "I was bringing out this pallet of chimeneas. They were stacked too high, as in two rows high, one level, two levels. And I had the pallet jacked all the way up. And when I rounded the corner, they all fell over and smashed." I said, "I remember you." I said, "I told you to go get a broom and sweep it up. I never saw you again. What happened?" He said, "I thought I was getting fired. I just walked straight out the front door and left and never came back." I said, "Oh, okay, I remember you." Strangely enough, I was doing a wedding up in Tulsa, and I was at the reception, and this guy says, "Hey, Adam." "Hey, it was Dave." I remembered him this time. He said, "My girlfriend asked me to come to this wedding. I said I'd know anyone, and I saw you walk down that aisle to marry those people." I said, "I know that guy." And after I told him that story of where I didn't recognize the other guy, I said, "I used to work for you," and I remembered. We had a great history of working together for a couple years after that as well. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20, if you would. And we're going to continue on with the Easter message. Adam, it is finished. Didn't it finish last Sunday? Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. It did not finish. And before you think Adam's just telling this crazy story, no, there's some relevance to the message today. And in John chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 11. Josh, guess what? I never gave you the title or the verses to put up there. I'm so sorry. They're back there in my bag. Anyway, John chapter 20, verse 11 through 18. Is that enough of a heads up, Josh? He's the man. "But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She, supposing him to be the gardener." Okay, let's just stop there. You are Jesus, the Savior of the world. You spent time with Mary. I spent time with Dave. But I didn't recognize Dave, and she didn't recognize Jesus. And in this setting, she supposed him to be the gardener. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She thought he was a gardener. Said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." But Jesus responded back to Mary, and he said, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Now we know from last week's message it was a similar story, except it was others. And they ran back, some other ladies with it, and they ran back in the midst of the disciples and said, oh my goodness, Jesus is alive. And the disciples said, yes, we know that. No, they didn't. I said, no, he's not. We don't believe you. You're telling us a tale now. You see, I had worked with David, and I didn't recognize him. She had walked and spent time with Jesus, and she didn't recognize him. Until after talking to her a few verses, and then he says, Mary. And then her eyes were open to it being him. But she went and told the disciples, and they didn't believe her. Now he appears in the midst of the disciples, and we'll pick up in verse 24 through 29. He appears in the midst of the disciples, and he stands there and says, peace be with you. And they were scared. Verse 24 says, now Thomas, called the twin. Hang on, let me go back. I don't want to read it, but I want to tell you, when he stands in the midst of the disciples, then they are aware that it's him. So verse 24 says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. You ever feel like that? Everyone else got to experience Jesus, but I didn't. Where's my blessing? You always get lucky. What about me? And I just picture Thomas going, of course Jesus showed back up after the crucifixion, after the burial, and I'm gone. But when he shows up, they said, we have seen the Lord. And he said to them, unless I see his hands, the print of nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Anyone ever feel like an unbelieving believer? Unless I see these, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. This time Jesus came, and the door being shut, he stood in the midst and said, peace to you. And then he said to Thomas, you see, he knew what Thomas said. And he simply says to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hand. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. But listen to this. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed in me. I thought in the midst, an unbelieving believer. I wonder how many times we've been there. I believe this part of the scripture, but this one, I can't comprehend that that's really truthful. You know, or you say something like, so you're telling me I can move mountains. This isn't a magic trick. It's saying if you have faith like that, then yes, you can. But listen to this in verse 30. In 31 it says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Now other scriptures say he did so many that all the books couldn't keep up with all the signs and wonders and miracles he did. But this one's pretty simple. Thomas didn't believe. He said, "I've got to see him." And when Jesus showed up, he said, "That's fine, unbeliever." Now, he's not going to show himself to every one of us and go, "Go ahead, put your finger in my hands. Go ahead, feel the scar on my side." I think sometimes there would be little hope for us if Jesus showed himself like that to everyone. You see, I want to have hope that someday I will see him. But if I know he's around the corner for everybody, then I don't have to work as hard. And my faith can be a little lazier, if you will. "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." And he also says previously that you may have life and have it more abundantly in his name. I love that. Believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, believing this, you may have life. And that you may have it more abundantly. Now moving on to chapter 21. Oh, Lord, we've got more people that don't see Jesus. Verse 1 through 14, and I know it's a lot, but it's important because this is still part of the Easter message. And it doesn't just fit on one Sunday a year. And it says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to him, 'We are going with you also.' And they went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing." You ever feel like you went out fishing and caught nothing? Been there, done that, literally and figuratively. "But when the morning has come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples who spent the last 3 years with him did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said," what? "Children, do you have any food? I'm hungry." They answered him and said, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the other side, on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." You ever have people stand by you when you're fishing trying to give you fishing tips? Or worse yet, someone across the pond or lake or whatever? But they did as he said. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. All night long on the left side. And Jesus said, "Cast on the right side." Don't you know if you're on the right side with Jesus, it's good. But he said, "Cast on the right side." And they weren't able to draw in the nets because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. You ever wonder who was writing down those details of that stuff? but 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Are you guys getting that? Don't think, I've got enough blessings, man. If I get any more, I'm just going to burst. No. No. Although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples walked up and said, who are you? You've asked us for food. You asked if we caught anything. We said, no. You said, hey, try the other side of the boat. You've been here all night and caught nothing. Try over here. And there was so many they couldn't drag it in. So they drug it up there, large fish. He says, come and eat breakfast. But the disciples were too afraid to say, who are you? Anyone ever been afraid to ask anybody, hey, by the way, who are you? I'm having this conversation. Who are you? Tell me about yourself. Whatever. Knowing that it was the Lord, they knew it, but they didn't know it. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. Now listen in verse 14. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. I thought, I love that. We've got multiple times before Jesus was arrested and crucified that he appeared to people and people talked about him. We're waiting for the Lord. And he said, hey, he whom you seek, it is I. You don't need to look any further. It's me. But then, after his death, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection, now you have himself, you have him appearing to people that he knew and spent time with. Mary. The disciples. And they didn't recognize him until such a time as he wanted them to recognize him. I think as we look at this stuff, are there times in our life that we're seeking Jesus? And if we would just be still and know that I am God, remember that verse, remember that scripture, be still and know that I am God, we may have a better chance of recognizing him when we see him. Did we miss opportunity to see Jesus in action? Did we miss opportunities to be Jesus in action? I am his representative. I am his disciple. I am his ambassador. I am his representative. I am his servant. I am his hands and his feet. We can't always just be a mouthpiece. I am his hands and his feet. And he says after this, by the way, go tell the rest of the world about me. Tell them about sin and salvation and repentance. But go into all the earth and tell them about me. I want, after Easter Sunday, it is finished. It's not finished for us. That is when the work just begins. We have an entire year that it's never finished. Advent, we can tell people about hope, peace, joy, and love. We can tell them about that the other 11 months of the year, too. And we can give them hope, peace, joy, and love through us. I pray that after the resurrection, that we look for Him and see Him in our daily lives. I asked last week, how many of you guys went and thought about the exchange of the weight of that cross compared to picking up your cross and following Him? And we gave you the little palm cross and the little wooden necklace cross. A much lighter weight than Jesus had to carry. And I thought, how do we recognize Him? I'm just going to give you a few things. They're not scriptural necessarily. They're just three things. It's like with a friend. You've just got to be honest with him. Oh, by the way, you've got to talk to him and listen to him. You ever show up at an event and you knew other people that you knew were going to be there? And you get in there, and what do? You look for them. Oh, there's Eric. Okay, Eric's here. Whew, it's okay now. Look for Jesus in your day-to-day activities. Look for Jesus opportunities in your day-to-day coming and going. And I love when we sing the song, The Blessing. That's, you know, sometimes simple songs I love, not because they're simple and easy to play, but the words to it are pretty simple. That He is with us in the morning and the evening and beside us and all around us. Here's the catch. Do we know that? Do we look for Him in front of us and behind us and all around us every day? Do we look for opportunities to be Him as well? And I said last week from the book of James, church, we cannot just be hearers of the word week after week after week. We have to become His hands and feet. We have to be doers of the word. I got a little passionate praying before we took communion today. I don't know what that was. The Lord said, man, we got some work to do. And we do every day. Not just prayer of faith, not just us. But if we want an awakening, we have work to do. If we want more in 24, we have work to do. If we want a season of serving, we have work to do. There's some simple ways to serve the church. And if you're looking for ways to serve, hey, what can I do? Man, it could be the band. It could be helping with the flowers. It could be cleaning. Always looking for help cleaning. It could be running sound. By the way, I need someone to run sound in the future. My son Austin said, I'm done. I'm done. I said, why? He said, I'm on a new spiritual journey. And he said, I can't focus on the message when I'm focusing on that. And I don't want to do it anymore. I want to sit and listen and pay attention. And I said, I can respect that, son. I can respect that. So we're looking for another sound person to help out. And I love when those are the message verses. I'm leaving. I don't want to be at church anymore. You may have seen him and Michaela and the kids Wednesday night at Bible study for the last couple months. I'm on a new spiritual journey. Dad, things are looking up. Life is good. I said, thank you, son. He said, oh, it's not perfect. But he said, things are looking up and life is good. And life is good because you all have prayed over him and prayed for him. Prayed over Michaela and for Michaela and the kids. And you've prayed for many. I'm just speaking personally right now. And he said, I'm thankful nobody gave up on me. I said, nobody's given up on you, son. And certainly Jesus is never giving up on you. And I want you to think about that. If you have family members, friends, relatives, co-workers, and you have prayed and prayed and prayed, Jesus will never give up on you or on them. I just pray that they recognize Him when He's standing there in front of them going, "Hey, come get some breakfast." And they say, "Jesus, is that you?" Let's all walk into Denny's someday when they say, "I'd like something for breakfast. Jesus, is that you?" But I don't want us to miss opportunities to see Him face to face. We can't just be hearers of the Word. We have to be doers. And that's whether we're looking at the Old Testament, the New Testament, whatever we're doing, we have to be doers of the Word. And sometimes we've got to crack this thing open on our own and say, "Oh, this says, speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ." Uh-oh, it tells me not to be tossed about between different people trying to tickle my ears with a sermon. And it talks about different people in the body of believers that make up the body of believers. Oh, this says I have to walk in love. This says I have to walk in light. This says I have to walk in wisdom. Be doers of the Word. Start walking in it. And maybe you start out walking like this, a little hunched over. But in time, walk upright. Confident in who and what He is, and who and what you are, and who and what you are becoming. When He said, "It is finished," that was the beginning for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray today that through this message we are reminded that even though we feel we know You, we may miss You. Lord, how easy it is to look past people, not recognizing them. God, I pray that we're reminded of this throughout the year, not just this month, not this week, but throughout the year. God, I pray that our eyes are opened, that we don't have to wait for You to see us multiple times, but that they're open. God, I pray as we sang songs today of rising from the ashes, that if we feel that's where we are, that we rise above that. Lord, I pray today that we pray over others in this church body for their needs and their unknown needs. That when God directs us to them, that we don't hold back out of fear. Lord, that we have boldness about this business. Praying over one another. Help lifting others up. Giving them hope and joy and peace and love. God, open our eyes today. Open our eyes to who and what You want us to be. Let us not be blind. In Jesus' name, amen.